Chapter 4, The Atrocities of King Kansa. Verse number 22. No? What is verse number? यावद्धतो अस्मि हन्तास्मि त्यात्मानं मन्यते स्वद्रग् तावत्तदभिमानि अग्नो बाध्य बाधकताम यात् यावद्धतो अस्मि हन्तास्मि त्यात्मानं मन्यते स्वद्रग् तावत्तदभिमानि अग्नो बाध्य बाधकताम यात् यावद्धतो अस्मि हन्तास्मि त्वात्मानं मन्यते स्वद्रग् तावत्तदभिमानि अग्नो बाध्य बाधकताम यात् तदभिमान्यग्न्यो बाध्य बाधकताम यात् यावत्ततो अस्मि हन्तास्मि त्यात्मानं मन्यते स्वद्रग् तावत्तदभिमान्यग्न्यो बाध्य बाधकताम यात् माताजी यावत् एस लॉन्ग एस हत अस्मि आई एम नाउ बीइंग किल्ड बाय अदर्स हन्तास्मि आई एम द किलर ऑफ अदर्स इति तस आत्मानम ओन सेल्फ मन्यते ही कंसीडर्स अस्वद्रक वन हु हैज नॉट सीन हिमसेल्फ बिकॉज ऑफ द डार्कनेस ऑफ द बॉडीली कंसेप्शन ऑफ लाइफ तावत For that long, tat abhimani, regarding himself as the killed or the killer, agna, a foolish person, badhya badhakatam, the worldly transaction of being obliged to execute some responsibility. Yat continues. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Translation. In the bodily conception of life, one remains in darkness without self-realization, thinking, I am being killed or I have killed my enemies. As long as a foolish person thus considers the self to be the killer or the killed, he continues to be responsible for material obligations, and consequently he suffers the reactions of happiness and distress. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. By the grace of the Lord, Kansa felt sincere regret for having unnecessarily persecuted such Vaishnavas as Devaki and Vasudev, and thus he came to the transcendental stage of knowledge. Because I am situated on the platform of knowledge, Kansa said, understanding that I am not at all the killer of your sons, I have no responsibility for their death. As long as I thought that I would be killed by your son, I was in ignorance. But now I am free from this ignorance, which was due to a bodily conception of life. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 18, verse 17, Yasya na hankrito bhavo buddhir yasya na lipyate atvapi soima loka na hanti na nibhadete. One who is not motivated by false ego, whose intelligence is not entangled, though he kills men in this world, is not the slayer, nor is he bound by his actions. According to this axiomatic truth, Kansa pleaded that he was not responsible for having killed the sons of Devaki and Vasudev. Please try to excuse me for such false external activities, he said, and be pacified with this same knowledge. Om Agyantimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 4, Verse Number 22, Translation. In the bodily conception of life, one remains in darkness without self-realization, thinking I am being killed or I have killed my enemies. As long as a foolish person thus considers the self to be the killer or the killed, he continues to be responsible for material obligations, and consequently he suffers the reactions of happiness and distress. Hare Krishna. So, this verse is spoken by King Kamsa to his sister Devaki. After Kamsa fails to kill the child of Devaki, the eighth child, who happens to be female child for Kamsa, male child but was transferred to Gokul, so So Kamsa saw a female child. And when he tried to kill her, she appeared as Mother Durga. And Kamsa was wonderstruck. He was astonished that I was about to kill Mother Durga. And he was further astonished that my sister can give birth to Mother Durga. That means my sister is special, transcendental. And I try to torture my sister by keeping her in jail. So personally he removed the shackles and he freed Vasudev and Devaki. And then he started begging forgiveness, regretting his actions. He was afraid that he will get a reaction because he tried to kill Mother Durga. And he started denying his mistakes. Generally, it's a general tendency that if somebody is confronted with a particular mistake, the first response is denial. I did not do it. That's general tendency. If you confront somebody with a mistake, say, I didn't do it. If you still pursue the matter, you don't accept his denial, then he will say, yeah, it happened, but this person was to be blamed, or this circumstances was to be blamed. It was not because of me. It was circumstantial. It just happened. So the first step is denial, and the second step is putting the blame on circumstances or sometimes on somebody else. Still, if you pursue the person to confront him, then the third stage he comes is he says, oh, that's okay, no? You also do sometimes mistake. I also did. It's okay. We are friends. No problem. Chalta hai. Aapse kabhi galti nahi hua kya? Jindagi mein. So that's the third stage. First denial, then blaming, then justifying. Even after that, if you pursue the person and confront him, at the fourth stage he will say, I am sorry, I did it. So these are four stages because of lower modes of material nature. Mode of goodness means we immediately take responsibility of our mistakes. And if we are confronted, we accept our mistake and say, we are sorry. We beg forgiveness. And we rectify the situation. Not only we realize the mistake, we rectify the situation. That's mode of goodness. Mode of passion and mode of ignorance means we go through these four stages. Denial, blaming the circumstances, or justifying, and then accepting. So if somebody does a mistake and he begs forgiveness, that's called honesty, imandari, that I did a mistake and I beg forgiveness. If somebody is not sure he has done a mistake or not sure, but still begs forgiveness, that's called wise, buddhimani, wise man, wisdom. If somebody is 100% sure he has not done a mistake, 100% sure he has not done a mistake, still begs forgiveness, that is called husband. Okay, let's be serious. That's called humility. Humble. Not sure, still begs forgiveness. That's humility. And that takes care of many misunderstandings in a relationship. Why a wife or husband will do that? Because for them it is not important who is right or who is wrong. For them it's important that this relationship continues long term. That's essential. So accepting mistakes, begging forgiveness is mode of goodness. There is nothing wrong in it. There is nothing bad in showing to others that I am vulnerable, I am fallible, I can also do mistakes. But it becomes difficult for sometimes devotees in front of juniors or in front of those whom they guide, thinking that if they come to know I am imperfect, then I will fail in my preaching. But that is a big misconception. Because believe me, please believe me, everybody already knows you are imperfect. It's a big misconception thinking that others think I am perfect beyond mistakes, so I should not get exposed. Even a leader is vulnerable. Even he has imperfection. Even he has weaknesses. And there's nothing wrong in admitting them. So here Kamsa is using philosophy. Philosophy from Bhagavad Gita. Like a jnani. And saying that I didn't kill your sons. I am not responsible for this. See how much daring he has to say this. It is recorded in the history that he killed the six sons of Devaki. But here he says, I didn't kill. Only foolish people think that I can be killed or I can kill others. This both is foolishness. This both is bodily concept of life. In bodily concept of life, a person thinks, I can be killed. And he generates fear. And he generates defense systems. And he generates security systems. And he generates weapons. All this is arising from the illusory understanding that I can be killed. And I can kill others. That generates action. That generates attempt to kill, attempt to murder. That generates effort, plan, weapons. So both are based on bodily conception of life. When a person thinks I am this body, he also thinks that I can get killed or I can kill others. But when a person is beyond bodily concept of life, then he knows, I can't be killed. And he knows, I cannot kill others. First part, I cannot be killed. That's clear? If I know that I am soul, if I know I am not this body, can I be killed? No, because soul is eternal. Soul cannot be killed. Soul cannot be become burnt by fire. Soul cannot be cut by weapons. Soul cannot become wet by water, soul cannot become dry by wind. No material elements can work on the soul. Nothing can happen. Soul cannot be destroyed. Soul is eternal. So when I know that I am soul, I am not this body, I cannot be killed. Right? Clear? Second, I cannot kill others. So when I know I am not this body, I cannot kill others. On a very basic level, I will know others are also not this body. Others are also soul. So can I kill soul? No. But on a higher level, Krishna describes in 18th chapter the five causes of action. And after that verse, Krishna says, anybody who thinks he is the doer, he is foolish. He is in bodily concept of life. The five causes of action are the body, the soul or ahankar, the conditioned soul, the senses, the endeavor or life heirs, and super soul, Paramatma, who is the main one. Without the sanction of the super soul, nothing happens. So when somebody is surrendered to Krishna, completely surrendered to Krishna, he doesn't get reaction of his actions. He is not responsible. So my dear Arjuna, if you are surrendered to me means Krishna, if you are surrendered to me and you fight and Bhishma Pitama gets killed, you didn't kill him. That's what Krishna says in 18th chapter to Arjuna. If you are surrendered to me and you fight and Bhishma Pitama gets killed, did Arjuna kill him? What is your logic? Not Bhagavad Gita, your logic. Yes. But Krishna says, no. Krishna's judgment is more important than our logic. Krishna says, no. It's not easy to understand. That's why Krishna says action and karma, akarma, vikarma, action, inaction, and forbidden action are difficult to understand. So when a person knows I am not the doer, and second, he is not interested in the results of action, two things, I am not the doer and he is not attached to the results of the action. Even if he acts, he is said to be not acting. Even if he acts, he doesn't get reaction. For example, you are sitting in a car or a train or a bus, passenger, and somebody is driving the car and an accident happens. Who is responsible, the passenger or the driver? If you are the driver, you are responsible. But if you are passenger, you are not responsible. Right? So in bodily concept of life, we think I am the driver. I am performing actions. So if some murder or some sinful activity happens, I become responsible for it. I get reaction. I am arrested. But if I surrender to Krishna, who is the driver of this body, super soul, and I sit as a passenger, Krishna, you drive the life, my life is in your hands, whatever you say will happen. My choice is not involved to perform actions, is based on your sanctions. Then are we responsible? No, we are not responsible. You see the difference? So a liberated personality, a surrendered soul, is not entangled when he acts on behalf of Krishna. If a soldier takes a gun and shoots another soldier on the opposite side in a war, who is responsible for this death? The gun or the soldier? The gun is responsible? The soldier is responsible? No. The soldier is not responsible. The gun is not responsible. The commander is responsible who ordered the soldier to kill. The gun, why it is not responsible? Because the gun is instrument of the soldier, right? The gun obeys the order of the soldier. The soldier is not responsible, why? Because soldier is like a gun. Soldier is instrument of the commander. So if we become nimitta, if we become nimitta, surrender to Krishna, we become instrument of Krishna, which Krishna is requesting Arjuna, become my nimit, become my instrument and kill these people, then will Arjuna be responsible? He will not be responsible. So if we become instrument of Krishna, just like the gun is an instrument and hence not responsible, just like the soldier is an instrument of the commander and hence not responsible, when we become instrument of Krishna, then we do not get reaction of our action. Then we don't get killed and we don't kill others. This philosophy is correct, but Kansa is misusing it. This philosophy is applicable to a liberated soul who has complete surrender to Krishna. But Kamsa is here misusing it. How, what is the misuse? Kamsa is saying, I am not on bodily concept. That Akashvani was wrong. The Akashvani said the eighth son of Devaki will kill me. And I did self-defense. So it's not my mistake, it's Akashvani's mistake. Right? Sometimes we do something and somebody asks, why did you do? He said, usne bola. Not my mistake, he told me to do. Right? So Kamsa said, usne bola, Akashvani ne. The Akashvani told. So Kamsa is justifying his actions using the circumstances. When he says Akashvani, that's his circumstances. And now using the philosophy of a liberated, applicable to a liberated personality. That on bodily concept of life, if somebody is in such an illusion, thinking that I can be killed or I can kill others, such a person becomes obliged, materially obliged to perform actions or perform duties. And when you become obliged to perform actions, you perform actions based on obligations, you have sukha and dukkha. You have reactions to those actions. For example, on a bodily concept of life, I think I am father. Then I become obliged to make sure the child's health is okay, child's education is there, child's character is there, he gets food, he gets clothes, he gets toys. But when I see a neighbor's person, boy or child, I don't feed or take care. Why? Because I am not obliged, because I am not thinking I am father of this child. I am father only of this child, not that child. So because of bodily concept of life, there are duties or actions which a person is obliged to do. A husband is obliged, a family man is obliged. Or if I think I am prime minister of this country, then I'll have so many obligations suddenly. And tomorrow you resign, all obligations go away. So suddenly the obligations happen because I am this, I am that. And when obligations happen and a person acts, he suffers. This world is dukhalayam ashashvatam. Every person has to suffer. He has to go through sukha and dukkha, happiness and distress. Whatever obligation, whatever designation we give to ourselves, it may be engineer, it may be lawyer, it may be husband, it may be father, it may be son, it may be daughter, it may be wife, it may be Indian, it may be brahmachari, it may be gras, it may be brahmana, kshatriya, temple president, GBC. Any obligation we take, any designation we take, it is upadhi, it is illusion. And based on that, there are actions and reactions. Of course, in Krishna consciousness, such upadhi should be taken as services. With a seva bhav, service attitude. Service to Krishna. Then we are protected. But if we taken as controller or enjoyer or proprietor, then we are entangled. If we are attached to the results of such activities, then we are entangled. So Kamsa speaks a right jnani point, but applies to himself which is wrong. He speaks that the doer is five, not one. Which five? Bhagavad Gita says body, self, or Vishnu Chakra Thakur translates as ankar, senses, cheshta, endeavor, and super soul. Super soul is the main one who sanctions. So using this justification, he is presenting his regret to Devaki, that please excuse me. I didn't kill your children. Please excuse me. In last verse he says, it's because of your destiny, it's because of your karma, because of your fruitive activities. Now he is talking on a transcendental platform, that it's the killing business didn't happen. It is all the way nature works. So please excuse me. Kamsa is doing all that not because of real regret. This is a temporary regret he is in, because he has become fearful since he was attempting to kill Durga, Mother Durga. We will see in the next chapter, in the next verses, that even after this regret, Kamsa is such an asura, when he pacifies Devaki and Vasudev, frees them from the prison and goes back to his ministers, because of bad association of the ministers who are also asuras, they again tell Kamsa, don't worry about all this, just kill all the babies born last 15 days, your death will be taken care. The person who is supposed to kill you will be taken care. And Kamsa actually sends Putna to kill babies born in last 15 days in nearby villages. How can a person who has such a regret can actually start doing this, killing all the babies? So this is temporary regret. This is a real regret is you rectify the situation and don't repeat it. Not that I realize, I regret, I beg forgiveness and next day again I do the same thing. Same thing. That's bad habit. Going on, going on, going on. Very difficult to come out. So we may do mistakes. Mistakes are allowed in Krishna consciousness. Who can be free from mistakes? But we should learn from the mistake that I don't repeat it. We should regret, we should beg forgiveness, we should rectify, should realize. And then I should not repeat the mistake. Why repeat the same mistake again and again? It becomes an habit. So it gives bad reaction to me. So I should not repeat my mistakes. I should improve. I should get corrected. So that I progress in my spiritual life. So never we should use philosophy like Kamsa is using. Using philosophy of higher stages or advancement on self. Thinking that I am higher. A devotee is humble, he doesn't think I am higher. That laws are for others, not for me, because I am advanced or I am higher. Laws are equal for everybody. The laws of nature are same for everybody. So we should not try to find a philosophical verse or a quote from purports to justify what we have done when we broke a law. We should not do that. If we have broken a law or a rule, we should beg forgiveness. We should accept our mistake. Then only we can improve. Then only we can get corrected. We should not misuse the philosophy like this. There is enough philosophy that any action can be justified in name of Krishna. There is enough philosophy. We should not use our intelligence in that way to justify our actions. It should go through Guru, Sadhu, Shastra. So that Kamsa is doing, and we should learn that we should not do it. Okay? We will end here. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna. If there are any questions or comments, we will take. Yes, you have to take a mic.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. When somebody do some favor for us, then we get obliged. And naturally there will be some action. So,
sorry, come back.
When somebody do some favor to us, then we get obliged to him. And then we the service gradually start. So, as you said that when we get obliged and take action, then naturally we suffer. And so how to understand that?
Yeah, so till a person is on liberated platform, this will continue. We are already taking favor even if we don't want. Somebody has cleaned this temple hall and we are sitting. That's not favor. Somebody is going to cook and we are having prasad. That's favor. Somebody is taking care of the gate. That's a favor. Security, right? So we are already taking favor. So we should whole time, whole energy we should use in service of Krishna and devotees. Then all such obligations and reactions go away. Aham tuham sarva papebhyo. Krishna says, I'll take care all your sinful reactions. That includes pious reactions also. So when we serve Krishna, then all these reactions go away. If not, then we keep on getting entangled with favor and obligations. We keep on getting entangled. And that's what is happening since millions of births. We are going on taking birth after birth after birth because of these duties, responsibilities, actions, reactions, favors, obligations. So the only way to come out of this complicated, this complex cycle is to serve Krishna. Is that okay? Yeah. Yes.
Guruji, as you mentioned, if when we commit mistakes, then there are four stages we go through this. So it's natural for me. It happens and mind convinces us that this is the way. I'm not in fault and different all four stages. So what practical means we can do in order to rectify this so that we are easily able to accept the mistake and then try to rectify it.
Yeah, so when we are confronted about a mistake, we should not immediately respond based on our mind. Either we have enough humility to immediately respond and accept, or we should introspect. When we introspect, a person in mode of goodness, when he introspects, very quickly he will realize that I should make forgiveness, it's my responsibility. Right? So, we should have a habit that if we are confronted, we accept it immediately. If that habit is not coming, it will come by practice of humility and mode of goodness, it will come. So till it doesn't come, we should little introspect rather than immediately defending ourselves or denying the mistake. We should introspect. When we introspect in mode of goodness, we will realize. Otherwise, we should also discuss with a well-wisher who acts as a mirror, who actually shows us the reality. Yeah, go ahead. You have to speak in the mic.
As you said, we should introspect. So sometimes it happens, the more we introspect, the introspection goes towards convince the mind with that conviction only. Mind convinces more that I am not at fault, and then that introspection makes us more convinced.
So, well, that is not called introspection. So, in that case, introspection is done by intelligence as a representative of Paramatma. So, in that case, we should discuss with a friend or a well-wisher or a senior whom we trust and who doesn't mind speaking truth to us even though it's hurtful. We should hear from such a friend. And when such a well-wisher tells, look, it was your mistake, we will accept it. So we need a representative of Paramatma, either guru or a well-wisher friend or our own intelligence. Mind will not help. We need mode of goodness. Mind not mode of goodness. So we should seek help. Okay? Yes.
Praji Hare Krishna.
Mike is right.
Praji, as you said, one should not use the one should not select the words or use the philosophy to prove himself that he is right or to prove his propaganda that this is the right way. So we see and we hear many things, many times like this, that somebody used to prove himself from his words or select the words or select the purport and prove his propaganda, which is not exactly like that. It may be, it may not be. But if we happen to know that this is wrong from some other authority, then what we should do to hear from this authority or not?
Okay, let me try to understand your question. So you are saying sometimes some of our practice, propaganda you used.
Yeah, it practice. No, it exactly not propaganda, the way of his understanding.
The way of?
His understanding of that purport.
Huh. I didn't get it. You are talking about self or somebody else?
No. We heard someone or many people that he or these peoples are used to use these verses, selected verses, or select the verse of purport to prove themselves that they are right.
Hmm.
But the purport exactly doesn't tell like that.
Hmm.
But in other vision, we can say, yes, this person is right. So, but if we confirm from some other authority, then it looks like he is wrong. So what
yeah,
to
so,
do?
So, on a very broad sense, we should know one verse or one purport or even one statement can have different angles. So there is a very high possibility that both are right. In any case, we have a spiritual master or we have our authority. So in such cases where there is controversy or confusion, we follow our authority. Right? So there is a chance that both are right. there is a chance both are wrong also. Right? There is a chance like that. Because it's very broad. Bhagavatam is very broad. Bhagavatam is not narrow. We need a very broad-mindedness to understand the philosophy. Right? So there are many controversies in ISKCON. Some are doing this, some are doing this. Maybe both are right, you know. Right? So, like in Parikshit Maharaj, he sat near the bank of Ganges for fasting for 7 days and heard Srimad Bhagavatam. Now, one Acharya says he sat on the bank of Yamuna. And one Acharya says he sat on the bank of Ganges. And both are right. But we don't know how both are right. Because no Acharya can be wrong. Right? So there are controversies, and this is a different controversy. So we should give benefit. We should give benefit of doubt to others. We should be broad-minded. And in terms of following, we should not judge. We should not judge other devotees. This application is more for self, that I should not justify my actions using verses of higher stages of advancement on myself. This is more for self, not for others. Others, we should respect what they are doing in Krishna consciousness. And when we have to follow it, we follow our authority. And that's safe enough for us, because our authority knows what is good for us. A mature authority. They know what is good for us. So we follow our authority, that is safe for us. Is that okay? So we don't use this to judge others. It's for ourselves. Okay, Anand Narasingha Prabhu is raising his hands since quite some time. So we'll come back to you.
Hare Krishna Babuji.
Hare Krishna.
Main Hindi mein bol sakta hoon.
Haan.
जैसे अगर आपने बताया माँ भगवान जो बोल रहे हैं माँ मनुस्मरण युद्ध के बारे में, तो जैसे मैं प्रैक्टिकली लाता हूँ तो मुझे अथॉरिटी ने बोला है कि आपको ये गलत है तो इसे तुरंत डांटना है. एग्जांपल जैसे ले रहा क्योंकि ये समझने के लिए. और सामने वाले के जो जिसे मैं डांट रहा हूँ उसके अथॉरिटी ने बोला है अगर कोई गलत करे तो तुरंत डांट दो. तो मैं भी सोच रहा हूँ कि ये जो मैं कर रहा हूँ ये भगवान को स्मरण करते हुए कि भगवान की सेवा है इसलिए. और सामने वाला भी यही सोच के कर रहा है और दोनों एक दूसरे को बीट कर रहे हैं क्योंकि कहा है कि गलत लग रहा है एक दूसरे को. तो क्या ये सही रहेगा?
हाँ, मेरे को एक बात नहीं सुनने में आई. आपके ऑथर ने कहा है कि डांटो कुछ हुआ तो.
हाँ, कुछ गलत दिखाई देता है तो बोलो. और
डांटो नहीं, डांटो और बोलो.
बोलो भी और डांटो दोनों.
बहुत अच्छा.
तो मतलब करेक्ट करना या उसको डांट भी देना. और उनके भी बोला है तो उसको लगता है मैं गलत हूँ, मुझे लगता है वो गलत है क्योंकि हम दोनों सोच रहे हैं ये भगवान का स्मरण कर रहे हैं कि भगवान की सेवा है इसलिए हम एक दूसरे को डांट रहे हैं. तो ऐसे सिचुएशन में
तो डांटना तो नहीं चाहिए. किसी को सुधार करना है तो डांटना नहीं चाहिए. डांटना सिर्फ गुरु करते हैं या सीनियर मैनेजमेंट में करते हैं या माता पिता करते हैं या शिक्षक करते हैं. राइट? कोई भी किसी को पकड़ के डांट नहीं सकता है. ये अच्छी बात नहीं है. सबको अधिकार नहीं होता है डांटने का. और सुधार करने का भी सबको अधिकार नहीं होता है. उसके लिए अच्छा रिश्ता होना चाहिए या अधिकार होना चाहिए और मन में ईर्ष्या नहीं होना चाहिए. समझ रहे हैं? सुधार करने का तरीका भी होता है. अगर आपको अधिकार है किसी को सुधार करने का तो वो आपसे जूनियर होगा या आपका मित्र होगा, तो आप उनको प्रॉपर एटिकेट से सुधार कर सकते हैं. अगर आपको दिख रहा है कुछ गलत हो रहा है मगर आपको अधिकार नहीं है तो आप उस व्यक्ति के सीनियर को बोल सकते हैं या उस व्यक्ति के गुरु को बोल सकते हैं कि हमने ऐसा देखा और हमें आपको बताना है कि उसका सुधार होना चाहिए. तो हमें अधिकार नहीं है हर व्यक्ति को डांटने का और हमें अधिकार नहीं है हर व्यक्ति को सुधार करने का. जिसके बारे में जिसके तरफ से हमें अधिकार है सिर्फ उन्हीं के लिए करना चाहिए, वो भी सही तरीके से करना चाहिए. अगर हम किसी के गुरु या अथॉरिटी हैं लेकिन रिश्ता अच्छा नहीं चल रहा है तो भी सुधार नहीं करना चाहिए क्योंकि वो ठीक से लेने नहीं वाला है. बात और बिगड़ जाएगा, रिश्ता और खराब हो जाएगा. राइट? तो हमें भक्तों को सुधार करना है, तोड़ना नहीं है उनको या उनको भगाना नहीं है, तो उस व्यक्ति को पूरे मंदिर में या पूरे व्यवस्था में कौन है बेस्ट, जिसका बात वो सुनेगा और सुधर जाएगा, उस व्यक्ति को वो सुधार करना चाहिए। समझ रहे हैं? वो व्यक्ति का सुधार काम में आएगा, नहीं तो बात खराब हो जाएगा। तो सुधार करना अच्छी बात है, लेकिन वो अधिकार होना चाहिए और वैसा भाव होना चाहिए, और सिर्फ आपका नहीं भाव होना चाहिए, उसका भी भाव होना चाहिए रिसीव का, सुनने का, फिर वो सुधार सफल जाएगा। और डांटना थोड़ा शब्द हैवी है, वो अवॉइड करना चाहिए। हाँ, डांटना नॉट अ फर्स्ट ऑप्शन। कोई गलती दिखा तो पहला ऑप्शन डांटना नहीं है, डांटना बाद में हो सकता है, अगर कोशिश किया प्रेम से नहीं हुआ या बातचीत से नहीं हुआ तो दूसरा ऑप्शन हो सकता है, पहला ऑप्शन डांटना नहीं होना चाहिए। ठीक है?
तो इसका जैसे कोई भगवान का स्मरण करके कोई कर रहा है सेवा, तो उसका रिजल्ट आता है जैसे कि भगवान की भक्ति, तो अगर ऐसा कुछ होता है कि बोथ आर फाइटिंग, देन व्हाट दे कैन गेट रिजल्ट?
भगवान का स्मरण करके झगड़ा कर रहे हैं, ये ऐसा झगड़ा करना बहुत मुश्किल है, बहुत मुश्किल है ऐसा झगड़ा करना, क्योंकि झगड़ा तमोगुण रजोगुण में चला जाता है और भगवान का स्मरण सत्वगुण या उसके ऊपर में होता है। लेकिन फिर भी कोई ऐसा कर रहा है तो मेरा दंडवत प्रणाम उसको। हाँ जी
हरिष्णा, प्रभु यू सेड इन मोर ऑफ गुडनेस इवन विदाउट एनी मिस्टेक ही सीक फॉरगिवनेस, सो हाउ वी अप्लाई इन दिस आवर लाइफ, बिकॉज विदाउट मिस्टेक वी कांट सीक फॉरगिवनेस, सो इन आवर लाइफ हाउ वी एक्सेप्ट दिस अप्लाई?
सो यू आर आस्किंग मी दैट इफ आई डोंट डू मिस्टेक हाउ कैन आई बेग फॉरगिवनेस, सो इफ आई डोंट डू मिस्टेक स्टिल समबडी इज फीलिंग बैड, still somebody is feeling hurt, I didn't do mistake, still he is feeling hurt, so I should beg forgiveness. Second point is just like pujaris, when they worship the deity, at the end they say, my dear lord, please forgive me for any offenses done intentionally or unintentionally, because we should know we are full of mistakes, so we do mistakes, and the biggest mistake we do is we think we have not done any mistake. That's the biggest mistake we do. So we 100% do mistakes. So we should beg forgiveness after every service, especially to deities, spiritual master or senior devotees. We do service, at the end we should pay obeisances and beg forgiveness. Morning when all devotees do vancha kalpa trubhyasya together, so all the small things which they have done against each other are forgiven. Right? Is that okay? So we are full of mistakes. So we do mistakes. Okay? Yes. Okay, we are done. We are over time. We'll speak after the class. Okay, thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna. Yeah.